Well, it's such a joy to be here. This is my first time here at Bern, and I tremble a little bit, and yet I see some familiar faces, and I just look to the Lord for a tremendous time together with you. I'm from up in northern Alberta, Canada, where the Lord is also working and doing work in people's hearts, and so I am rejoicing with you that although we live in a very difficult and dark time, that God is continuing to prepare and make people ready and prepare them for Him and for His work and for His kingdom. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. As Brother Aidan phoned and asked if I would come and share the word, I asked him what he had in mind or what were some thoughts of topic or need that could be addressed here. And as he later came back after having prayed about it, and I don't know who all was praying and discerning that, but this is the verse that he came back to me with. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And we read here in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, talking of John the Baptist. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so that is the phrase that I have been meditating on and want to seek to share on this week. This first message is somewhat a foundational message based on the ministry of John the Baptist. And this verse applying to the ministry that he would have. And then in the other three messages, I want to more specifically go to some areas that here we today in 2015 can prepare people and have them to be a people for the Lord. I'm going to begin with an illustration this morning. It's probably about 2 years ago, we had just as a family had a tremendous Sunday afternoon. We have 11 children, and five of them are married now, and there's seven grandchildren. And we had just sat around the campfire. It was my birthday in August. And as our practice is, the children and my wife had all just prepared verses and things. And we had just had a tremendous time of sitting together and sharing. They had blessed me with verses of encouragement. And I believe many of you fathers may have that experience. And that is just such a tremendous blessing when your children gather around and just bless you with verses and encourage you and let you know that they are with you, especially when you're in the ministry and all of that. And we had just had a tremendous blessing, and I was basking in that joy of that afternoon. And another brother from the church and his family stopped by. They just dropped in and joined us around the fire. And I'm not sure exactly what he had all gone through, but he came and he was just enthused, and he was excited about evangelism, and particular personal evangelism. And he was just sharing about the experience he'd had of sharing Christ with different ones, and I could just tell this is his passion. He's passionate about this. And he looked at me and I think he was just thinking, John, why can't you enter into this excitement with me? And he basically said these words, what is it that excites you? What is it that's on your heart? And I am the kind of a person, I need a bit of time to respond to something. I am not one that can just quickly give an answer. And so I took a couple of days and I phoned him and I said, this is my passion. It is the church. I believe in evangelism. But I explained it to him this way. I said, if the church isn't what it ought to be, if the church isn't a people of God that walk in holiness, what do we have to bring the people that are converted to? And so I believe in evangelism, but my heart has been for the church. And that we would have a church, we would have a people that is walking in God's ways. And then yes, that church, that body will be a witness and a testimony. And we will have someplace to bring them to be discipled and taught in the ways of God and to together be a witness. And so that is what came to my mind as I meditated upon this verse, a people prepared, a people that is the people of God. And we live in a very difficult and dark time today. And we need today, like we have always needed, to be a people of God that is right before God, that we can have that testimony, that as we evangelize, that there will be a place where these people can be brought. It is not just about saving them. It is about them learning to walk with God and to be a people of God. And so that is my burden this week. And that is, I believe, what the scriptures bring out. It is not like the evangelical camp where I have come through, and I will share some of that with you this week. It is not just that we somehow get people to the point where they make a profession and they have their ticket and they're on their way to heaven and then carry on with life as usual. That is not Christianity. That is not God's message for us. He wants us to be a people that are God's people. And I know I've had to sort a lot of this out, and I'm still sorting a lot of this out. I'm looking forward to the other speakers talking about the kingdom of God again and of faith and those things. Those are things that I'm continuing to sort out. I don't believe that I have it all sorted out. I remember a number of years ago in southern Alberta, Brother John Dee was preaching on the kingdom of God, and there was quite a few of us that had that evangelical background, and I know there were men there that struggled with his messages. And there were men there that day that have turned back and gone back into the evangelical camp. It was a message that they could not understand or accept or receive, and they are not there. But I praise God. God has continued to work in my heart as I've sought to be open before Him. That thing has grown in my heart, and I see, I think, in a clearer way today that God's purpose is that He wants a kingdom of people on this earth with Jesus Christ our King leading us and guiding us, a people that's prepared to serve Him and be the people of God. And so that's my burden, that's my heart this week that I want to share with you from that perspective, that God is and has a people that is ready to be the people of God. There is so much emphasis out there today, even within the evangelical camp again. We run into this from time to time when we talk to someone at our work or so forth, and they'll say, oh yeah, so-and-so, such-and-such a church in our community, they talk to us about these things. So there are those that do evangelism. There are those that speak about Christ. But it is amazing, again and again, you find out that although they have been approached and some proclamation of some type of a gospel has been made to them, that the response of most people to that has been negative. And when you talk to them about the Lord Jesus and about faith, and from that previous experience of others talking to them, at least, there is a resistance. And I've analyzed that, and I've thought about that somewhat. Why is that? Why is there that resistance? And I know it is because they are in darkness and they cannot see. They are in the kingdom of this world and Satan has blinded their eyes. But on the other hand, we also know that when the truth is preached, that light can come and that faith can come. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so why is that not happening in so many places? And I've concluded and observed this, that in many places it is because the church is so far from what God wants it to be that it is not attractive. The life is not lining up with what the profession is. And so here are these individuals that are out there seeking to evangelize, but the church, the people that they represent, is such a lack of godly testimony that it doesn't fit together. And that is a burden to me. It really is. But on the other hand, when our lives line up and we are walking what we ought to do, then the message has an impact, I believe. And it needs to come that way, that we are what God wants us to be. And so God had a purpose and has a purpose. He wants a people that is made ready, prepared for the Lord, to be the people of God. And so I want to look at this account this morning of John the Baptist and the ministry that he had in preparing. And I want to look at three portions here in Luke and maybe refer to Matthew a little bit as a parallel passage. But in the Gospel of Luke here, we find the ministry of John the Baptist. And we recognize that as we approach this topic of John the Baptist's ministry, that we are right in the middle of what God has done in the Old Testament with the people of Israel as a nation, a people on the earth through whom He wanted to be glorified, through whom He wanted to be seen, through whom He wanted to bless others, and then of course through whom He would bring the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we are, right now He has implemented, He has brought forth this ministry of John the Baptist to prepare for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the New Covenant, the New Testament, the account of the Kingdom of God, the account of the Lord Jesus' people. And here we are today. And so I want to take you back. We want to step back 2,000 years to John the Baptist. And I want to lead you as we, in our minds, go back and focus on this ministry of John the Baptist and his preaching and this message that here in this verse says that he shall go before him, before the Lord Jesus, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let's read, first of all, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5 and through 17. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I'll stop there, and you know the account here, how it goes on, and he has a hard time believing this, grasping this, that, you know, his wife being barren, they being old, that this will happen, and whereby will I know this? And so he becomes dumb, unable to speak, until the birth of John, and then his tongue is loosed. And so that is what he experiences and leaves the temple here after this and conceives. But here is the angel coming and prophesying and giving him this message of this birth of this son, and what he will be. And so I want to look at, first of all, at this prophecy by the angel to Zacharias concerning John and his ministry and what that ministry will be like. And so we see three things here that he brings out in this prophecy. The angel tells Zacharias three things concerning the ministry of John, this son that will be born to him. Verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. When John came on the scene, it was the time of the life of Israel that they had not had a prophet speak to them like they had in the Old Testament many times, warning Israel to turn back. They had not had a prophet speak to them for 400 years since Malachi. And so it seems that the people of Israel here were in need of turning back to the Lord. And we know that the Old Testament history is again and again how the people turned away from God. And were so often so unfaithful in their walk with God in the Old Testament. And so often they were punished and dealt with in order to turn back to the Lord. And so here too, there was a need here for Israel to turn back to the Lord. And the prophecy is that John will be used to turn many to the Lord their God. And so that is what he was going to do. He was going to preach. He was going to turn people back to the Lord. And that is again and again the need of people. People to be prepared for God is that we need to be turned back to the Lord. And so that is continuing to be the message that we proclaim, that people need to turn to the Lord. We are not okay, as many in the world would say through all of their counseling. We are not okay. We are outside of God. We are separated from God. We need to be turned back to the Lord. Our relationship with God is so severed. And in our disobedience, we need to be turned back to the Lord, to return to Him. And so that is the prophecy here, that He will turn many back to the Lord. Secondly, we see in verse 17, "And he shall go before him," that is before Christ, "in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people of the Lord." He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. We find that the work of God on hearts is also to not only restore our relationship back to Him and cause us to return to Him, but it restores human relationships. That is the work of God in our hearts. He wants us to be a people where we are in relationship with one another. And He begins that by turning the hearts of the fathers back to their children. And in Malachi we read that also then the hearts of the children are turned back to the fathers. And so that was the work that he was going to do, is to preach. And God was going to do a work on fathers' hearts, where there was alienation, where there was unconcern, where there was preoccupation with other things or misplaced values that they experienced in that day. God was going to do a work in preparing a people of God that would turn hearts of the fathers back to their children. There'd be restoration of relationships, a people prepared for the Lord. It seems you see the heart of God in the Scriptures. Whenever He does a work in people's hearts, whenever He does something in men's hearts, their hearts turn back to their children. And many of us have experienced that. It is a tremendous thing when that happened, when a heart is changed, when a home is changed. I remember when I was 15 years old, I was raised in an old colony, Mennonite setting. And we were very, very faithful churchgoers. My parents always went to church. But my dad wasn't a saved man. He was a religious man. But he wasn't saved. And I remember how he was an angry man. Grandfather was an angry man. My dad was an angry man. And when we crossed him up something, whatever he could find, you know, to whip us, whether it was an extension cord or whatever it was, that's what he would grab and whip us. And I just remember that when I was 15 years old, the gospel was brought to us in our community. And about the same time that I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, my father did as well. And our home was changed. It was like it was overnight. You know, it is an amazing thing when a 15-year-old son sees his dad's anger dealt with. His cigarettes are gone overnight. His homebrew in the cellar is gone overnight. It has a tremendous impact. And not only that, we began to sit around. We'd go out and we'd work, and especially on the weekends, we'd get together and we'd sit around the table and we would talk about the things of God, and we'd be in the Word of God, and our hearts were turned together. What a difference God makes in our lives when we turn to Him. Then our relationships one to another are restored as well. That is God's heart for His people. And we'll talk more about that. But that's what John the Baptist would do, and that's what Christ the Lord Jesus, whom He was preparing the way for, would come to do, to restore relationships of parents and children and people, relationships one to another. And so a people prepared where relationships are restored. Number three, we see here, to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Oh, God's work is a work in our hearts, where when we are disobedient and we are rebellious and we are sinful, but when God comes, and the message that John was going to preach would be to turn people from their disobedience and their wayward ways to the wisdom of the just. Wisdom is being able to do what God wants us to do and walk in righteousness. And so the disobedient would be turned into righteousness. They would walk in the ways of those that are righteous. And the Lord Jesus Christ obviously is the just one, the ultimate just one. And we would turn, people would be able to turn from their disobedience and turn to the wisdom of the just one, the anointed one. And so a prepared people, a people who would be changed, transformed in their lives and in their behavior, was what God was looking for. Secondly, we want to turn over to the verse 67. And the second portion is the prophecy that Zechariah himself receives when his tongue is loosed after the birth of his son, after they name him, and his tongue is loosed and he begins to prophesy and share. And so that is the second portion here, verse 67 of the same chapter, and I'm going to read through to the end. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, here it is again, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. And so that is the message that God gives to Zacharias as he now is loosed, his tongue is loosed, and he has this son that God promised. And so in this prophecy, we see a number of things. And first of all, he talks about all of the promises of the prophets being fulfilled in the covenant of Abraham and so forth. But I want to focus in on just again those few verses there that talk about, you know, people being changed and given the opportunity to change, become the people of God through this. And that is in verse 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his people. How is he going to prepare them? To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And so he was going to begin preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, as we read in Matthew. You will be able to have your sins forgiven, your sins remitted. Repent, turn to God. And so he would give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Oh, how we need the knowledge of salvation. We are blinded. Our eyes are darkened by the God of this world. And a people that is prepared for the Lord needs to have an understanding, a revelation come upon them, their eyes open to the salvation that God has provided in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he would come and give knowledge of that salvation as he preached the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The Lord Jesus was coming. God was visiting, bringing the Lord Jesus. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, the darkness of that day and the darkness of today. And we need the light to those that sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Oh, brothers, I don't like traveling through the airports of today. So I came again through several airports. Had to spend extra time there due to everything being messed up by the weather in Toronto. And I just look around me and the darkness that is there just hit me again. People sitting in darkness. And I don't know if it's just my seeing this, but I see the darkness as people sit in an airport like that and no one's interacting with one another. They're all looking down. They're sitting in darkness. They're looking at their gadgets and their devices, not connecting with one another. And yet as I saw all of that, I just saw the darkness of the age in which we live. And God seemed to want to put an exclamation mark on this as I sat in the Calgary airport there waiting for my flight to Toronto. We have gotten to know a man in our community, a rich oil man. We live in Rich Oil, Alberta. And we've done quite a bit of work for him. And one day he just took the time and myself and my grown sons, we were working for him. And probably two or three of his sons were with me. And this rich man, multimillionaire, he stood there watching that. And he said after a while, he said, John, I just love to see the way you work with your boys. He said, I blew it. I was so busy with my son, I never worked with him. And he just blessed me for being able to work with my sons like that. He just saw the beauty of that. And later he shared with me how he had gotten to where he was. And some years ago, he sold his construction company in the oil and gas industry for millions of dollars. He's younger than I am. He said, John, I began at 16. I bought my first D6 Caterpillar when I was 16 years old and went to the oil field and worked building oil leases. One cat. And at 50 years old, multimillionaire, selling it. He's open. And we've had many opportunities to talk to him. Recently, both his father and mother passed away. He had a handicapped boy. He passed away and he came to me and said, John, I'm sick and tired of death. And if it's up to me, I'll live another 15 years. I've just had it with death. Well, no, he's not had it with death. We know that. But the darkness that he's in. I met him in the Calgary airport the day before yesterday. Walking down the aisle, hand in hand, with a woman that's not his wife. You know what? I felt compassion for him. He's lost. People are lost. They need to have their eyes open. They need to see a church. They need to see the body of Christ. They need to see the kingdom of God, the way God wants it to be seen. So they will see there is a different way. There's a different way. Another man we worked for, They're friends, these two. Fly their personal airplanes together. Divorced from his wife, living with another woman. Then later married her, all in the time that we've worked with them and known them. Very anti-God. And I've wondered, why are people like that? Like I said before, why are people like that? Well, he didn't tell me the story. But we were working for another couple. A church couple. A church that does a lot of evangelism. Now, this lady in that home shared with me concerning this man, Bob. She told me Bob's story. They, as a church, somehow had been able to reach to Bob's wife, and she made a profession for Christ and came to the church. Well, Bob didn't like that his wife was coming to church, and so apparently he made it pretty rough on her. And so the church advised her, why don't you just leave Bob? He's opposing you. And so she did. Divorced him and married another man in the church. Brothers, you can tell why Bob is ticked off at the church. That is not the people that God wants to be the representation of His life on the earth today. And so these people are in darkness. They're disobedient. They need to be given the light. Their feet needed to be guided into the way of peace. And so this is the prophecy that John would do in preparing the way for the Lord. This is the life that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to offer us who would receive it. Thirdly, we want to look at John the Baptist preaching as we find it in Luke chapter 3. So the prophecy of the angel, the prophecy as given by John's father, and here John in this portion, his ministry and preaching. And it just follows so quickly in succession, and yet we have to recognize here's 30 years of life that has gone by, and John rises up and begins to preach, preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 3, beginning verse 1, just gives the background there of the Roman rulers and so forth. And then verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Some of the other gospel brings out how he was in the wilderness, in the desert, eating locusts and honey and dressed in camel's hair and so forth, preparing. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his birth. And here he is. He comes, the word of the Lord comes to him, and out he goes and begins to preach. Verse 3, he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And he said unto the multitudes that came forth to be baptized in him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father's father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree therefore that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, whose latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he shall burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things he exhorted and preached. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And so here too, verse 4 and 5, we find again, just the reminder again, how it is prophesied in Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so again, a people would be prepared. John's ministry was to preach and to come and prepare a people for the Lord Jesus to come. And the preparation of that way, a way that we prepare, he uses the illustration here, and the prophecy is that he will prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I think we understand the picture here. You know, it's a preparation. It's a road that is smooth. And we so often talk about things. You know, I talk about Jim and Bob. You know, they are rough. They are rough men. They are rough men. They do crooked business deals. We understand those words. That is a description of sin and wickedness. But God wants to come to transform lives, to change lives. As I thought about this, I think of the famous Alaska Highway. It begins at mile zero, Dawson Creek, which is only about 40, 45 minutes from where we live. The famous mile zero of the Alaska Highway. We've only traveled up to Alaska once, and that's one of our dear brothers is here. We went up for their wedding up in Alaska. And it's a fairly decent highway today. It's paved, and yet it is a crooked highway. It is by no means that every valley has been filled in, every hill made low. I mean, that would have been impossible even with the machinery they have today. And yet my daughter, 14-year-old daughter, did a research paper on the Alaska Highway and the purpose of building it and how they built it and all that. And it's an amazing thing. We usually read proofread our children's even library research books. And so I skimmed some of it just to okay the books that she was using as resources. But it's an amazing story of building of that highway. And they were doing so to prepare to ward off the fear of Russia would come up over into Alaska. And so they went from Canada up to prepare to bring war resources up there to stop if that was going to happen. That was the purpose of the trip, of the building the highway. Now, of course, it is a tourist road, and maybe some of you have traveled it. And yet it is a picture of a highway that is not straight. And even some of the roads in the area, there is right near the start of the highway, there is a road that we call the Beaten River Airport Road, where they had a little airport that they built during that time. And the road, literally, it just seems like they took the path of least resistance. And up there, there's a lot of muskegs and swamps and so forth. And so that was probably part of it, where they just quickly took the path of least resistance. And secondly, I've found out now that there was actually more to that. There was a purpose for making the road so curvy, is that if they were coming over top with airplanes, they would not be able to bomb a long strip of tanks or something traveling the highway. It was purposely made crooked. Well, that was a tactic of war. But we have a plan of God that is to make men's crooked lives and crooked ways straight. We have a God whose message is to change sinful, crooked, decrepit men into men that can live to the glory of God. And John began to preach that. Repent. Repent, turn, change your lives. Change your lives. God wants you to live lives that are glorifying to Him. He wants you to live righteous lives. And so sin would be dealt with. Wickedness would be dealt with. We would receive from God the power to live and change our lives. It was the message that John began to preach. Repent. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. And then we find the multitude came forth to be baptized of Him. And He says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Turn, repent, change your lives. And I, as I go back there and I think of that, I would have loved to hear John preach. What did he sound like? How earnest was he? What kind of passion did he demonstrate as he preached this? Oh, it would have been a time to go and listen to John the Baptist preach like that. The burden to see Israel, who had turned so far away, to repent and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And again, he goes on, and as they then begin to ask him, what shall we do? We find here, they begin to ask him, what shall we do then? Verse 10. And he answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And likewise, he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Just stop for a moment and think of that. That seems like a pretty simple thing. That's a pretty simple thing. If you have two coats and you see someone that has none, give one of them away. That's not very complicated. Or if you have meat or if you have food and you see someone that doesn't have food, do likewise, give to others. And you know, we have out there in the Protestant camp, we have this teaching that man is so depraved that he has no ability to do whatsoever good in him until God somehow, by himself, without the man even cooperating with him, renews him and makes him new, and then man can do something good. I mean, what unconverted man could not repent if he has two coats and he sees one that doesn't have any, that couldn't go and actually give a coat away? We can change our ways. We can amend our ways. You know, we can do some of those things. And he begins to say, just begin with some of the very basic things where you have just been disobedient, where you've been selfish. Begin to deal with some of those things. Open your hearts. Prepare yourself. And that's how he began to preach. Just deal with some of the injustices and the inequities in your life. And Christ will come later, and fuller revelation will come. Amen. But repent, change your ways. The publicans come to be baptized, and he said unto them, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. I believe the practice was that as they collected their taxes, that they could exact more than they actually were commanded to, and that could kind of go into their own pocket. And if you read the story of little Zacchaeus, it seems to be the case, right? And he says, don't do that. Treat your fellow man with justice. Treat him fairly. Be fair with them. The soldiers also demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any man falsely, and be content with your wages. Well, there's a lot of application we could make there to men today. You know, all those areas, just in a very practical, simple way, live lives that are upright, that are right and just. That is what pleases God. That's the kind of people that God wants. And I know he's not just talking here about the fact that we can reform our lives completely and be holy, and without Christ that we can do all this. But look, the attitude is here that God wants a people that is concerned about relationships. God is concerned about people treating one another right and living right. It's not just about having faith in Christ and having our ticket and life doesn't follow. He's concerned about life and justice and caring for one another. And so he preaches repentance, change your ways. Be what God wants you to be, what God has revealed you ought to be. And he preaches like that, and he baptizes them as they submit themselves, confessing their sins. Then we also find in verse 15 that he begins to preach and announce. The people were in expectation. All men mused or wondered in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not. Here's this powerful preacher just preaching away. And although we read in the scriptures that John did no miracle, but here they come by the throngs to hear this man in the wilderness preaching and be baptized of him. And they're musing whether he is the Christ, whether he's the one that is to come or not. And John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so John recognized as they're doing this that, no, I am not the one you're looking for. I am here preaching repentance, change your lives, but there is one coming that is much bigger. I am baptizing you here upon your repentance with water, but there's one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with fire. Life would come through that one that he was proclaiming that was coming. Amend your ways, prepare your hearts, be open to God, he's coming. And many other things. Verse 17, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things he, in his exhortation, preached unto the people. I wish I could hear a lot of those sermons that John preached. Preparing the people for the coming of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ is coming. The one who I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy to undo his shoes. And so he was exalting Christ, who was turning them in preparation, the people prepared for the Lord. He was turning them to the one that God was sending, whom he had been, his life was, his purpose was to come and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was coming. And so much could be said about the ministry of John the Baptist. And I have just meditated on this these last weeks in preparation for this and just wondering. And it seemed as though the people came and they were serious. They were repenting. And I don't know if these people went home that asked him what to do. I don't know if they went back and began to actually apply those things that Christ had told them to do. But hopefully they did. And hopefully they were the ones that then began to listen to Christ as Christ came along. And possibly they were the ones that did turn to Christ. And possibly they were in the crowd when the apostles began to preach after Pentecost. And they turned and they became part of the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ. God did a work. He was preparing people. And we need that today. We still have the same dynamics. We are in a world that is full of darkness today. And people need to prepare it. And yes, we are now on this side of the cross. We are on this side of the Lord Jesus Christ's finished work in the cross. And we can, with absolute confidence, continue as a people of God to proclaim that message that Jesus Christ is the one that can deliver you. One that can give you life. That can empower you by the Holy Ghost to live the way that God wants you to live. And yet I had to wonder as I thought about all this. John's ministry was so short. And we could go on reading here how Herod took him and put him in prison. And then we know how at the request of Herodias, his wife that shouldn't be his wife, whom he rebuked Herod for, how she has John put to death through Herod. And so his life was so short, his ministry was so cut off. And then the Lord Jesus comes and begins preaching as well. And you wonder, were there people that were prepared? Yes, there were some. But were the masses prepared? No, they weren't. It was a very small group, actually, when you think of it, compared to the world of people. And I wondered about that. Why so few? Why did it seem this ministry was so limited? I mean, a man filled with the Holy Ghost from his birth. And when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ beginning to preach, and we read in John chapter 6, verse 66, after Christ has preached and tells them very clearly what they must do, that they need to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and that by doing so they would have life it says many were offended at him and many went back and followed him no more. And so in the end, when he died, he was so alone. And you wonder about that. And yet, the way was prepared. No, the masses weren't all converted. The whole earth wasn't saved in that day. But the way was prepared so that people can turn. And here we are today. Many years later, still a room full of men that God has touched our lives and there's still a people. And Jesus said, the way is narrow, it is straight, and few there be that find it, but the way was prepared. The way was open for us that we can know God, we can walk in His ways. It's still there today. And so we still continue to proclaim that message that was begun there by John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. The way is prepared and people can be delivered. They can be brought to the light. Just want to close with a few verses. Turn with me first of all to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. And so there is a spirit at work today. There is a world of darkness that is at work today. And many times you go through an airport in particular, like I just did, you know, humanity looks so respectful. It looks so dignified, dressed up, beautiful people. And yet, they are driven by a spirit. They are driven by the God of this world. Chapter 5, verse 19, also here. We know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. It is lost. And lastly, Ephesians chapter 2, these very, very familiar verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let me just stop there. That's what we see out there. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And yes, they are respectful looking. They are educated. They are intelligent in the ways of the world. They are rich. They are the ones that have the 3-car garage homes. They are the tourists. They are the university students. They are all of those. They are not like we hear of many even in Haiti and different places where they live in the slums and the demon possession. Our North American society is so respectful in many ways, so beautiful in many ways, and yet they are in darkness. And the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now works in them, is at work, and they are lost. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has raised up a people. God has prepared a people. God has prepared us to be in His kingdom, to be a light and a testimony in this dark world. In my heart, I want to share the other 3 messages that way, is my heart is that we would be the people of God. That we would be a bright light. It says of John the Baptist in John chapter 5, verse 35, he was a shining and a bright light. And ye were for a season willing to rejoice in it. Oh, that is my heart. That myself, my family, our local fellowship, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God would be like John the Baptist. A bright and a shining light to this dark world. That we would still be able to preach and reach out and bring others into the Lord Jesus Christ, into His kingdom. And so, brothers, my heart this morning is just that we recognize that God's way of preparing people for Him is that we would repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe most of you probably here this morning are, but what a privilege is to be the people of God, cleansed, prepared to do the work that God has called us to do. May God just bless us as we seek Him these days, that we would be even more prepared, even brighter, even greater opportunity to use our bodies as living sacrifices, vessels, holy and sanctified in the use and for the work of His kingdom. God bless you.